Oh, okay, cool. Let's kick this off. It is episode one of the next phase.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just episode five, okay? we just had a bit of a delay.
No, but look at when I looked at last season, it was four or five episodes. But when I looked at the total amount of time spoken, it was like 8.5 hours.
So you're trying to justify why we've taken like 10 months or 9 months to record another podcast?
No, no, no. I'm justifying why it is a season. Because if you divide it by like 45 minutes, you get like 10 to 12 episodes.
Okay. So well, let's just call it for now. I'm just going with it. It's season one, episode five.
Oh,
no, okay. But it kind of is.
Okay.
We just had a big break and we had many reasons for this. We needed to focus. We really did need to focus on a few very pivotal things in our lives as well as in the company. And that required our full attention. And, you know, I always say to people, there's no such thing as a perfect balance. Like if you really want to achieve certain things in a certain time frame, other things are going to need to be parked. And you need to forgive yourself for that. So that it can't be perfect all the time. You always want that pie to have these perfect 8 slices. But that's really unrealistic because things come in the way. And I don't believe that all those aspects of that pie can all have the like equal attention at all times. I do think that if you really want one or two of those pieces to really thrive, you're going to have to focus and put more attention, more time, more energy, more effort. And the other things are going to have to take a back seat, less of a priority for a period of time, in order to achieve those goals. And that's kind of what I think's happened, is that we've had to really double down and focus on certain goals within the company, which we've achieved. And so now we can focus on this again and we no longer have to spend time on that.
I think it's a very like verbose, trying to sound smart way of just saying you couldn't get off your ass.
Every time we had the equipment and we said we must record, I thought to myself, but either I'm going to spend time preparing and recording,
right,
or I'm going to spend that time doing what I need to do to achieve the goal that we wanted to achieve.
Okay.
And there's only so many hours in the day doing all the things we want to do. And we've been away a lot and we've had a lot of commitments. So for me, I didn't even worry about it. I was like, our amazing listeners will be there when we get back. I know that there's been so many of you that have emailed, that have WhatsApp. Are you guys fine? You know, DMs, Instagram messages. And that's amazing to say, like, when is the next one, guys? Like, come on.
That's so nice.
So we're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry, but it was nice. But I just coming back to the objective of the podcast, because people, we have webinars, we have you doing live stuff. We have people that get you, book you, and you go do stuff. And I think that just to remind everyone that the podcast's objective is to give you a long form, relaxed way of getting out certain points that you don't always get to do. And I remember listening to you when you used to do DNA consults with people one-on-one. And I used to listen because I'd be in the room or the next room. And then I'd hear you unpack a particular topic with that person. And I thought, geez, if everyone could hear that. And I think this is the objective of the podcast.
Well, I had time. I had 90 minutes with that individual. And a lot of the times, I think we have spoken about this before, but they're wanting to achieve health goals. And we had to kind of peel that onion and almost like take it right back to, but are you happy?
Yeah.
You know, and that had nothing to do with cholesterol. It had nothing to do with their DNA report results. It had everything to do with like, who are you? Why are you doing what you do? Like, what's going on? And we kind of spoke about joy and pleasure and purpose and all those things to kind of understand why somebody was sabotaging their efforts, why no matter what, nothing made them happy. You know, we had to really dig. And that for me was such a beautiful thing to be able to really get to the reason why that person was in a turmoil. Because when that happens, like your body starts to break down.
Mm-hmm. But you know what was fascinating for me, because I'm just for those of you listening for the first time, I'm complete a layman when it comes to health and wellness and stuff. I come from the tech industry where we actually get our health and wellness gets parked because we do so many other things. But what's fascinating for me is to see, just experiencing it with you, is how many people have health and transformation journeys that are successful. But the only reason it is successful is not that they started with the diet, or they started with the exercise, or they started with the thing. It was actually when they went back to, okay, why am I where I am right now? Like, first understand what got you where you are, and why are you unhappy, and why are you trying to shed the 20 kgs.
Yeah, the why was critical.
Yeah, and then and then when you start peeling that, and then you find all the psychological stuff. You find people with past trauma.
Yep.
You find people with going through current trauma. You find people in current situations. And then it's almost analyzing that first and saying, okay, let's look at that. Because even if you lose the 20 kgs, even if you do that,
it's temporary.
If you don't understand what brought you to this point, then you'll just do it all over again.
100%. Yeah. So you got to spend time and energy on understanding who you are and why you do the things that you do. That was one of the reasons why I studied some of behavioral kinesiology, because I wanted to understand the why. Like, people are complicated, complex, I should say, multifrenic, if you want to call it something spicy. And there's a lot of dimensions, and you really have to work at all of them at the same time. You've got to do the work. And people are scared of the work because it's a bit gritty and it's sticky and it's uncomfortable and it's hard. And it means facing your past sometimes, your fears, your demons. Yeah, but sometimes that's the only way out, is like through that muck. You have to get through that. And yeah, those are the successful stories, are the people that do the hard yards.
Okay. So, by the way, this podcast has been nominated for awards. I don't know the acronym.
I know, that was a really big surprise. We were entered, but that was great. I mean, solid gold. Thanks for all your help.
Yes.
I think we are in the top four. Health and Wellness in South Africa for the APVA Awards. I think it's something like that.
Oh, well done. You remembered the acronym. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes. And then I don't know when the awards are, when it gets announced, but that was really quite cool.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's highly unlikely work. Our inconsistency. By the way, what's the title? This one is all about consistency.
It is about consistency. Yeah, we're going to talk about some other stuff.
Inconsistent podcast.
Actually, as we're talking about the topic, like, what should we summarize the topic to be? We need to have a topic, you know, to put on the podcast, you know. So it's like, let's do consistency, because I think we're going to talk mostly about that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, well, here we are being the most inconsistent podcasters known to man. But anyway, what I said in the beginning, I stand by that. Right. Like, I really do. And I do think that sometimes we really our own worst enemies, and we're really hard on ourselves, and we want everything to always be perfect. And that puts a lot of pressure on us. And I think it's the pressure is put on by yourself. It's not anybody else putting that pressure on. And I think sometimes we've got to be a bit kinder, a bit more patient, and understand that there are so many hours in the day. You are one human being. And if you really want to achieve one thing, you need to focus on that one thing. And with that requires a lot of dedication, sacrifice, time, commitment, like all of that. And that's the same thing with your health and wellness goals. Like, if you really want to achieve that outcome, it is going to take sacrifice, which means other aspects of your life are going to have to take a back seat. Like, maybe entertaining, partying, you know, certain friendship groups and things like that are going to have to be parked, because you can't have your cake and eat it. You know, so if that is your goal, well, guess what? Like, watching hours of TV at night, going to bed late, waking up whenever, those things are going to have to stop, because now you are focused on the goal at hand, which is going to require other things to take a back seat.
Look, I like it. I think what I saw the other day was this meme. It was a graphic that showed consistency is showing up every single day. But then it showed like a graph that just, like, you don't, showing up every day doesn't mean it's
same.
Full every single day. Sometimes you show up and it's 80%. Sometimes it's 100%. And then sometimes it's 10%. But you showed up.
Yep.
And that consistency is actually not about being perfect every single time you show up, but just making sure that you show up. But, but before we get into like the depths of consistency, some people may know that I do this. I've done this 30-day challenge, and I'm about to do another 30-day challenge. And, you know, for me, consistency is an issue. I'm an all or nothing personality. And for all or nothing personalities, it's very difficult. You're doing it or you're not doing it. The switch is on or the switch is off. To find that median is so
And I've
hard.
Been trying since I met you.
I know.
And I think you're better than when I first met you, because you were doing nothing, let's be honest, when I first met you.
True.
I mean, going around the neighborhood for a 2K run took a while. A lot of stops, but I was very patient.
You know what, when I think back, I think I was pathetic.
Yeah.
Remember when we went for that first run in Parkhurst? It was the Parkhurst run, right?
It was the Parkhurst run.
Yeah, and then we ran around Parkhurst, and I mean, look
how far you've come.
I stopped like, now I have to wait for you. In fact, I go run
only
now.
On Bounty Boots.
I go run now.
Okay, wait, let's just get this right. You're number one. You're 6 foot something, okay?
I weigh 100
And you
kgs.
Weigh a lot more than me, and your Bounty Boots actually weigh the same as mine. Okay. So you are pulling something way lighter in ratio than I am. And every step of mine is like half of your step. So when we go for a 5K run, you're this massive human with big, big, big strides and light boots in comparison.
Look, the point is...
Okay, so I'm just saying.
The point is not fair. The 5Ks now is, you know, they're 19, 20 minutes, you know, that's versus whatever. Was like an hour and a half before if I finished. It was really been bad. But so this 30-day challenge, I just want to share some of my anecdotal learnings around being consistent. And again, for those of you that are all or nothing personalities, consistency is definitely a challenge in your life. I find that with my reading, with whatever I'm doing, if I'm consistent, it's when I'm all in and I'm doing it now and I'm finishing this. So there's a particular project and I'm all in for that project. And that's not how real life works. And I admire that about you. The one thing I admire is that that's the one thing. It's just the one thing. But I mean, it is the consistent showing up for yourself. I've never seen anyone that disciplined. And I want you to share some of those secrets. Like, how can you do that? Because you are. People say, does she take breaks? I'm like, no, she doesn't. She's 7 days a week.
But just know, it's because I have been on the other side, though. So
what does that mean?
I have been an all-or-nothing person before. I haven't always been like this. So I used to be an all-or-nothing person.
Really?
Yes, to the point where it damaged my body. It damaged my health.
Oh, this is that when you're eating
OCD.
Disorders.
Yeah, I mean, OCD to the extreme. I mean, this was like when I wrote everything down on a pad of paper for the day, even like breathe, brush teeth, drink a glass of water, like that, so that I could get every tick before the end of the day, and turning light switches on and off 36 times, not walking on cracks in the pavement, you name it, I had it. Everything was perfect.
Look, you're still a little loony.
So,
the loony is still there.
No, I've had to let that go thanks to being a mom and just knowing that it doesn't serve me to be like that. Gosh, living a life like that to the extreme, and exercise was extreme and diet was extreme and winning was extreme. And it's an exhausting, exhausting way to live. And it's very damaging on your relationships. It's damaging on your health. It's just, I've been there and I've done it. And the only way that I haven't kind of relapsed is because, I mean, I am a strong-willed human being. I know that for a fact. So that does help. But I know that if I don't do this consistency, like every single day, no matter what, like non-negotiable stuff, that's my other option. That's my fallback. That's almost like my default is that. And I know what it did to my life. And I never want to go back there. So that's the alternative.
Yeah. So I also worry about the 30-day challenge because I think it almost becomes like a handicap thing where once people do the 30-day challenge, then the only way they become consistent is when they get the next 30-day challenge. And I've had that. Some people were on it and they said, yeah, you know, I can't wait for the next one because I'm back where I was again. And then it becomes this crutch thing. And that's exactly it. It's so difficult going from a 30-day challenge. And then what we did on that 30-day challenge towards the end, I felt I can live like this forever. When I got to week 3-4, that's when I was like, okay, this is done. This is how I sleep. This is how I go to bed. This is how I eat. This is all the learnings. I was like that. And then we went to the United States and then we were there for 3 weeks and, you know, and then it got broken because of jet lag and all of that other stuff. But we were, we were sort of consistent there. I mean, we were doing 30,000 steps a day and, you know, that's also irritating. We do 30,000 steps a day and then you'd still go train.
No, I train as I woke up so that I didn't have the excuse at the end of the day but we've done 30,000 steps. And then my legs and my feet ache. So I'd get up, do the training. Okay. And then I would have the 30,000
steps.
Okay,
cool. Okay, wait. Okay,
why?
We're going to get
though?
To that. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. So this is the topic today. And I really want us to understand that because by the way, this is unscripted and there is no advertisers and because we want to say what we want to say, the way we want to say it. And this consistency thing is something that I am very interested in getting out of you also because it's astonishing, your consistency. That is, it is the one thing. And it's not because it's just one thing. It is the one thing. It is what makes you different from anyone else I know in every way is that you can't, there is not a day that you do not train. And it doesn't matter what shows up or what, I mean, it's sickness. Sure, you'll go down, but then you'll come back again very, very quickly again. But let me just go through that 30-day challenge. So what I learned about consistency in that 30-day challenge was the following. because I just wanted to do it for myself when we started off. And then you said, why don't you open up and have other people kind of join you? And it was intimidating.
Well, because I thought, you're not alone here. if you feel this way and you're married to me and you have it in your face every day, imagine how other people are feeling. Yeah. So I'm sure that you would inspire others, and you did. I mean, there was a lot of people that jumped on with you every day with very little advanced warning. Yeah. And they just kind of said, well, let me do it too. And it was cousins, it was family members, it was people that didn't even have rebounders yet. They were like, okay, let me grab one, let me borrow one, let me buy one. It was awesome. So hence why we want to do it again, but maybe a bit better.
But just so people know, the reason I did it was there was a clip on Instagram of the guy that I played, and I'm going to have Gavin like splice it in here. So listen to this clip.
The reason why I wake up at 5 a.m. and I run every morning isn't because I'm a marathon runner or because I'm some kind of triathlete. It's because I fucking hate running, man. I hate getting up early even more. So I'm starting the day by building a non-negotiable standard for myself, which I've come to realize is the only way we can ever grow and improve. When people say no one's coming to save you, they're not talking about how no one's coming to help you reach your goals. They're talking about how no one's coming to save you from yourself. Because without standards, man, we always lose direction and we always fall back to our lowest automatic systems. Binging, procrastinating, clinging to comfort. And the fucking worst one of all, dude, lacking the desire to change because it's just too difficult and discomfort is so distasteful these days. So when I'm out here in the morning, it's not about mileage, it's not about pace, not really. It's about creating a rhythm and creating a standard and a certainty in a world of uncertainty for how I want to see myself throughout the day. And now I have this new energy that I'll bring to everything else I do, knowing that I said yes to getting just a little bit better today and knowing that I was able to conquer that inner bitch at the crack of dawn. And the rest of the day is cake now. I challenge you to hold yourself to something non-negotiable today. Just give it a try, man. The amount of self-confidence and newfound self-belief will be something that you've never felt before.
Okay, so that's the clip that I listened to, and that was all about showing up for yourself, creating a non-negotiable standard for yourself. And that really, really inspired me. When I looked at what that guy said, I thought, like, no, I want this for me. And that's exactly it. Like, to respect yourself, show up for yourself. It's all about you. But here's some consistency things that I picked up in the 30-day challenge. What were my challenges when I started off the 30-day challenge? So the 30-day challenge was very simple. It was waking up and doing a workout every day, a rebounding workout for an hour, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. So 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, when you say that, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this for 30 days. Whoop-de-doo. And then it begins. Then you go, oh, my Lord. This is very complex.
This is a life hack. What is my life strike?
Like a life strike. I'm like, what did I just do? And what I discovered was, well, wait a minute. You actually have to change your diet. Mm. You have to change your sleep patterns. You've got to kind of... When you work, your cadence of things.
When you spend time with your partner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like when
you eat dinner with your family.
Yeah.
It really changed everything. But for me too. Like, I wasn't planning to do it. And by default...
You had to do it.
I had to.
Yeah, else we wouldn't see each other, else we wouldn't do dinners together, else we wouldn't spend time together.
It would have been a complete friction point for us because, like, I'm not nearly ready to go to bed and you're already asleep and I have to be quiet and I have to take my things out the room and the lights are off now. It would have been a really hard 30 days if I hadn't bought into the idea and kind of supported you on it and just said, well, I guess I'm going to do this too because it doesn't matter when I work, if I work at 6 a.m. till 8 or if I get up and I work, 2 hours earlier, whatever. It's the job gets done.
Yeah.
So for me, I just adjusted everything to your clock. You did all of that. You organized everything. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to adjust my life.
Right.
But it wasn't easy because there were nights where I wanted to stay up a little bit later because I wasn't going to get up and train. I was going to just get up and do some work with a cup of coffee, Those days for me were a bit frustrating, but the big picture was at hand. And I wanted you to see what getting up early every day and being consistent looks like and felt like more than anything. Felt like.
Yeah. And I think what's important is if you're going to do something that's from a consistency, it does sometimes require that the other half of you or your friend or you live with, whoever your partner, just comes along for the journey because I think it could have been a friction point. And
they don't have to do the rebounding. I mean, that's great because you're both in the lounge or wherever you're bouncing in your garage, keeping the dogs away from the kids and the barking, wherever you're doing it. But, even if your partner commits to getting up, and they are cranking, they're working, or they get up and they go to the gym at that time, or they get up and they do whatever they were going to do later on in the day. They do earlier with you if they're not into rebounding or can't rebound or whatever. So, or, you know, some people just aren't early morning exercise people, but they could get up and they could be next to you doing some work, having coffee, getting the lunches packed for the kids. So just, yeah, I think that's important that somebody in the house, preferably your other half, or if you don't have another half, but you do live with someone, that person needs to kind of be on the journey with you. It's going to make it a lot more enjoyable because you kind of do it together. You plan your life together. It becomes like fun as opposed to being this, oh my gosh, this is not working for me.
So the one thing is it was obviously the partner side. And then what shocked me was the first time I had to go to bed at 8:30. And like, I don't go to bed at 8:30. I go to bed at 2:30 a.m. That was normally my time, 1:30 a.m. Because I read, you know, 4 to 6 hours a day. That's my reading requirement. I'd read throughout the day and then in the evening. And I was worried, like, wait a minute.
I'm gonna
I'm going to do this 30-day challenge and I'm going to be illiterate at the end. But it's just, I because of technology moving so fast and all the things I have to read all the time and the depths in which I have to go, that was a worry for me. And then I realized it didn't have to be a worry, which came later. But when I started off, it was the 8:30. And then it was very difficult understanding because we had had dinner at like 7:30 that night. And then I was trying to go to bed at 8:30 that night. And then the next morning, it was a hack. I was like, what? Getting up. And I didn't sleep properly. My sleep score was pathetic. And it's simply because everything was wrong. And then when I woke up and then I did the workout, okay, I felt great that next day, but I got tired very quickly. And then I realized consistency requires extreme time management. So in the end, what worked for me was finishing dinner at 5:30, between 5:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. If I was going to go to bed at 8:30 p.m., that's the time, minimum. So it was finishing then. The other thing that I picked up too is in the day, I had the ability to multitask extraordinary.
Like you had a limitless pull.
Limitless pull. Yeah, I did. And it took me, but my limitless pull ran out completely between 2:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. Done. I was done. And I realized that I couldn't do any important meetings that required, you know, deep cerebral engagement or a big decision. I quickly discovered in the first week that I couldn't do that because.
That's when you need to read. Because if you think about it, you've been up since early and now you've done your training, you've showered, you've eaten, you've taken, you know, Bella Boo to school, and now you've started your work day much earlier than normal. And when you get to 2:30, latest say 3, you've actually had a full work day. You don't need to keep going till 5. That becomes your reading time from 3 to 5 p.m. Okay, now I'm going to sit down on my hammock or my beanbag with music playing and I am going to read. Because I've done my work. And that for me, that was what I had to be disciplined with because I was also starting my day a lot earlier and all I was doing was working more. I actually ended up working another 90 minutes every day instead of saying, with this 90 minutes extra, what am I going to do with that time? Am I going to learn a language? Am I going to go for a walk around the neighborhood? Am I going to cook dinner for a change? You know what I mean? So that's important. Your day starts earlier. It should finish earlier. And you need to then find your creative space in that gap, which is obviously good for your soul. Right. And it's, you know, good for everything. So I think your rest and repair needs to still be.
But I mean, it was extraordinary. It was amazing because afterwards I looked forward to going to bed early. I looked forward to it because I had tackled my sleep. But the one challenge that I did have throughout the whole thing was sleep score. My sleep score, I couldn't.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I
couldn't keep it above 75.
I think that you really need to take that watch off when you sleep. And I think you should go with the way you feel way more than this, what this thing is telling you. I haven't worn a sleep score device, okay, a smartwatch for that reason for 6 or 7 years now. Like I used it in the beginning when it was first launched and I found it interesting and I started making some changes to my sleep then. So going to bed earlier, just for everyone that maybe didn't hear this in a previous podcast, every hour before midnight is worth 2 hours after midnight.
Worth what? What do you mean?
So it's from a rest and repair, from a recovery perspective, feeling more energized the next day, having your brain detoxified during the night because it does have lymph fluid in it, and having all the right hormones secreted at the right time, getting the right type of sleep at the right time. It's way better to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier than it is, even though it's 8 hours, let's say, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, compared to going to bed at 11 and waking up at 7. or going to bed at 10:30 and waking up at 6:30, or going to bed at 12 and still waking up at 8, it looks like it's 8 hours, but it's not that in the body.
So it's quality.
It's you about get
much better
time.
Quality.
Yeah, quality, but also it's about hormones and the secretion of hormones and the circadian rhythm, and it's about going into the deep sleeps when you need to. It's having that melatonin secreted at the right times, which is between 12 and 2. And that means you have to be in the deep sleep at 12. And for some people, it can take 90 minutes to get into that state of sleep. So if you're going to bed at 10, you only like, you know, maybe at 11:30, it's kicking in. Or if you're going to bed at 11, at 12:30, it's kicking in. Till 2, you are 30 minutes short of the full 2 hours. So and if you're going to bed at 12 and you're waking up at 8, you don't get it at all. Jeez. So that's why you could feel thick-headed, groggy, like I got 8 hours sleep, but I'm feeling so exhausted, you know, because you didn't get the rest and recovery at all. And you didn't get that brain flush that you need during that time. So you feel foggy the next day, but it still looks like 8 hours on paper. But on the sleep score with the whole device thing, let's just say you woke up and you actually felt okay.
Yeah, that's okay. What happened. And it would be which like can 65.
Which can go down to things like your digestive system was on track. The food that you ate agreed with your body. Your body, you ate it early enough in the evening. It digested. Mm. Your body rested. It didn't like fight to digest while it's trying to rest, you know. So there's all of that. Hormonal things for women as well. So let's just say everything was in place and you had this great night, but maybe you only got just under 7 hours.
Mm.
You look at your watch and for whatever reason, it tells you your sleep score is 68%. Now you start to feel like you had a 68% night.
Yeah.
And then you have a 68% day and everything falls apart because you're like, and you get irritable and you're like, you think you're craving certain things because you didn't sleep properly. And you know, you blame your workout, the fact that you didn't push hard enough on the fact that you didn't sleep properly. When actual facts, you did.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in it. I think you should take the watch off. You should do all the right things. Have your sleep hygiene routine and remove the data and just listen to your body.
So there was this one of these massive influencers online. Actually, it was an article which I read the other day about this. He said he doesn't wear his sleep ring thing anymore. He just said, I don't wear it anymore. And he said, because of exactly this, he said, sometimes I'd wake up, it'd give me like a bad score, but then that day I'd feel amazing.
You'd have a bad score. You'd have a bad score day.
It was almost like it was programming him subconsciously when he looked at that number.
Yeah. That's why don't weigh yourself either. Okay. You know, because of what happens on the scale when you weigh yourself.
By the way, what happens?
Like when you're gaining muscle and gaining water and losing body fat, the scale doesn't tell you that. So now you get on the scale and you're up 500 grams, but you're feeling amazing. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling bloated. You know, you're feeling amazing. And there's many reasons why you could be up 500 grams. And now you have a really crappy day because you're up by 500 grams. Don't get on the scale. Every 2 to 3 weeks, go and have an in-body, or once a month, go and have an in-body and see then what your body says. It'll tell you a whole different story. But instead, we do these things to kind of like sabotage our efforts.
Mm.
I just think take that stuff off, do the right stuff, and see how you feel that morning. If you feel great, push hard in your workout. If you're feeling motivated, awesome. If you're feeling a little bit low, do a 50% workout. Do something. Move your body at least.
So
eat a good breakfast anyway. Like keep going anyway.
So being in tune with and understanding.
Go with
by the way, this
feel.
Is Carly's fault. By the way, Carly's our registered dietitian. That's part of our team.
But she is Miss Data. Like, you know, she's a doctor of food. So
totally
it's like everything is about
it.
fact. And I'm more about feel.
No, but she's also about that. I think it's not, let's not take any way. But what irritated me about Carly was like, I go, Carly, my sleep score is 65. And she'd go, oh, I got 91. So
oh
then I go to
goodness.
Bed at 7.
Yeah.
Just to get, and it didn't work that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, so look, consistency.
There's so many different things that can you know, give you a good night's sleep. I mean, temperature in your room, whether your child woke you up or not, what you ate in the day, your mindset when you went to bed.
Mm.
Did you, you know, look on your phone? Didn't you? Did you by mistake reach for your phone, or did you use your yellow light or orange torch in the room? And there's so many little things that can alter that night's sleep, and you wake up feeling amazing. Go with that. Wake up feeling not so amazing. Go with that.
Okay, so look, tick. Sleep for me was the ultimate in that 30 days. Sleep was the most difficult thing, but when I got it, it was astounding. To go to bed at like 8:30 was just like I loved it, because I knew when I woke up the next morning what I would get as a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing. And I must be honest, that's the first time in my life I experienced that. I'd never experienced that before. That consistent joy, energy, go-getting thing simply because my body was prepared. And you know, you say that you've got that saying, which I love, nothing feels as good as feeling good feels.
Mm.
I think halfway through the 30-day challenge, that's exactly what, I've got to tell you this, but that's what I felt. I felt like, so this is what it means to feel good. Like you wake up and you're bouncing. Not on a rebounder, you're bouncing. There's a spring in your step. You're putting on, you're getting dressed.
You're nourishing your body. You're having a warm shower. You get dressed for the day and you're like, right day. Bring it, you know?
But so coming back to consistency. So sleep was a big one. And thank you for some of the nuggets there. You said some stuff that I haven't heard before. But then the other thing was what I was eating and when I was eating it. That was so important. I realized that when I woke up, I had nothing. So for me, like bowel movements is also a very important thing. Mm. How your digestive system works. So when you get up, most people drink coffee to go to the loo, which you don't really, you can drink water and you'll go to the loo. But the point is your body's ready to shed the waste after processing all that stuff in your sleep. And what I discovered was if I wake up to train at 5, I actually had to wake up between
quarter past four. Yeah.
That's
at half an hour,
meant.
It wasn't enough time to give your body the movement, the gravity that it needed to go to the loo.
You needed the
45 minutes, not the 30.
Mm-hmm.
So then what would happen is you'd end up bouncing, but then you actually needed the loo. Or it would then shift your entire bowel movement for the whole day, because then you kind of blocked it that time when it should have happened. And then you had breakfast and so on, and then you got busy, and then you were in a meeting, and then before you know it, you actually haven't gone, and it's 3 o'clock.
So that's
what you've got to learn about your body. And giving it the time. I'm exactly the same because I do classes in the morning. I like to train early. Like that's my favorite time. And I've learned that about my body. Exactly the sweet spot. Like I work backwards every single night because I know my digestive system so well now because I'm in tune. I listen. And I know what time I need to also eat at night because your body takes a certain amount of time to digest. So the later you eat at night, it's not going to be ready to go to the loo at 5 o'clock in the morning or hoppers four if you only ate at 7. You know, it does need that full, that whatever it is, 9 hours or so to kind of move through
to
the
break
system.
It down
So there's certain things that you can do to assist it, like digestive enzymes, taking some fiber supplements, things like Super Scoop before you go to bed.
By the way, just so everyone knows, that's what I do every single night religiously. And if I don't have it, I panic. I have a scoop to a scoop and a half of Super Scoop every single night.
Boy, does he panic when he doesn't have that stuff.
That's what I tell someone. And I think the big thing on Super Scoop is not so much the nutrition, it's the fiber. I think the fiber content that you put into that was...
Also, the brain, you know, that whole thing, like if I don't have it, I'm not going to go to the loo. If I had a really bad night's sleep, I want to have a bad day. Like, you know, I think you tell yourself a lot of this stuff. However, it works, so fine.
Yeah.
But just know that a lot of things have to be factored in. So if bouncing on an empty tummy, going for a run on an empty tummy, you know, having gone to the loo is important, well, then you need to work backwards from there. What time do I need to wake up? What time do I need to go to bed? Okay, then what time do I need to eat? What's going to give me good digestion? Mastication in the mouth, chewing your food properly, drinking enough water, getting that fiber in at night, not complicated heavy meals at night that take long to digest, small simple foods, crunchy foods,
raw food, salads. During the day, the time was so critical. So if I skipped, is there something walking on my leg?
It's the cable.
Oh, it's the cable.
Oh,
jeez.
My goodness.
No, there was a rain spider in the pool this morning, upside down.
Oh, gosh.
And I had to take it out. And I'm just thinking, and I saved it.
Little side note, Steph hates bugs.
I saved the rain spider today. So I just thought, maybe that's him walking on. So I realized that when I, like, done with my training, eat.
Yeah.
Like, I had to, like, eat within half an hour after that. And it was because if I didn't, I'd have, like, hunger pangs.
But it's also a good habit to get into because that's when your body needs to restore the glycogen and the carbohydrate. That's the protein, which helps with the repair of the muscles, the fat that keeps us satisfied. So it's actually a really important thing to try and have, you know, whether it's a smoothie or some, like, a meal or something within 30 minutes of
exercising. So that's
exercising.
What I did. That's all right, because there's no time.
Kind of kickstarts your metabolism.
Because I take Bella to school. So what I did was the first thing I did was a smoothie. Then I'd come back and then I'd have natural food breakfast. Mm-hmm. So like, you know,
veggie juice first.
And then it's, you know, it's the eggs, it's the tomatoes, it's the avo, it's the chickpeas and stuff. Like really getting nutrition from natural, like not highly processed stuff. And that was good. And then I'd be starving by like 10, 30, 11. And then I had to eat again. And then I realized that after lunch, I really had to watch what I was eating because if I didn't, then I just, I wasn't in the mood for dinner.
Mm.
So I had to finish my last meal at 2:30, and then like I couldn't eat again until dinner.
Your 2:30, which is some people's lunch, is actually your afternoon snack, because now you're eating at 5:30, which is not a lot of people eat at 5:30. They're eating at 7:30, 8. So you're shifting your entire biological clock, 2 hours earlier. So that's really what's happened. Breakfast is now at 6:30. Mm. It used to be at 8:30. So everything's 2 hours earlier. So yes, having discipline with eating then matters, because that'll affect your digestive system. Yeah, you know, it'll affect your sleep.
So what I did was everything. So I put it in my calendar. Or I had little alerts going off in my calendar, repeated, and I just put little 5-minute calendar entries that said eat. Yeah. And I'd realize, okay, what time is it now? Okay, it's time. And that helped me. So everything was intertwined. First of all, my mindset changed because of that thing that I saw. And I thought, I want that. I want that non-negotiable standard for myself. And that inspired me. So the mental thing clicked in. And then after the mental thing, I was, okay, what do I do? And then I said, okay, 30 days. 30 days of rebounding for an hour for 30 days, every single day, 7 days a week. I mean, that's a big commitment. And then after that, I quickly bumped into, oh, wait a minute, that means sleeping this way. Oh, wait a minute, that means eating this way. Wait a minute, that means working this way. That means there were so many consequences related to that equaled the consistency.
I think the only thing you got, like maybe you need to work on is switching off at a certain time in the afternoon and giving yourself that grace to go and find a quiet spot, put that beautiful classical music on and read. Hmm. And what a nice reward. At the end of the day, because I know how much you love reading. Mm. It's like me going and having a massage or something like that. So you start your day when you're full of energy, you get all your work done, you have your meetings, you do your action points, you da-da-da-da. And then you know that like at 2 o'clock or 2:30, like that's your time to read till 5 p.m., till it's supper time and family time. You know, and that's your non-negotiable.
Mm.
Yeah, so then you get it all in anyway.
Anyway, so I'm doing another 30-day challenge. There's quite a few people signed up, and we've learned a lot now. We're going to have a WhatsApp group for it. We're going to do some
a little PDF
stuff
that you can download and put on the fridge so you can tick it off as we go.
That was your idea.
Yeah. Because some people like that visual. Remember me and my tick list? You know, I like that visual, like, okay, another one bites the dust. And then the next day, in the halfway mark, and all these little emojis all over and these little motivational sayings and stuff. So I'm excited to get that out to everyone. And then, of course, we're going to be mixing up the workouts because I believe that, and I'm going to talk about that, like what keeps one consistent. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely to put joy and excitement and motivation into the mixture is very important. And so having the same, because Steph, you know, you ran it the last time. Now I'm getting a little bit more involved with the details. And he was like, no, just do a Lisa class every day. It's my wife. I know how she trains. It's hitty. It's gritty. It's, you know, it's like, I like that kind of workout. It's also no choreography. It's man friendly. So the poor people did 30 hit classes. So I was like, okay, cool. You can do it your way the first time. But like next time, let's add a bit of sculpt and let's add a bit of this, a bit of Jono.
I'm very worried about that. Eh?
I'm not worried about adding Jono. I'm so excited for everyone.
By the way, I discovered Becca recently.
Well, there we go. We'll add lots of Becks in there for Steph.
But now when you say sculpt, my toes curl.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so worried.
But you know what? It's because you're resisting what you know you need. Not what you want, but what you need.
Okay,
and
Steph.
You need a little bit of Steph, okay?
Need a little bit of Steph. Steph needs a little bit of Steph.
So we're going to mix up the trainers. We also have put in some eating like principles. So we've got the spoon-fed with med eating plan that's Mediterranean. So you can go plant-based if you want. You can include some fish, chicken, and all of that if you want.
We're pitching something, and people don't want to hear
pitches, but I just want to talk about it because we've made changes and improvements. And I think that's important for people to know. Is like if you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results. But every time we do something, we do learn and we do listen to our clients. You did something. It wasn't perfect. So let's take the good stuff and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And what didn't work, let's learn and let's make it better. And so that's what we're doing for the next one.
Yeah.
Making
okay,
it
look,
better.
It's cool. And again, it's a big thing about this is just if you want to kickstart your consistency and you want to reboot and like kick into it. But I want you to unpack consistency like properly and thoroughly because this is your platform. It's got nothing to do with Staff's 30-day challenge.
Yeah.
This is teach us about consistency. And so, I just want to this is that one thing about you. You know, it's not that you eat in a particular way or you train in a particular way or anything.
It's just that I do it every day.
Every
single day,
no matter where we are in the world, and no really matter how much. And I notice too, if you get little sleep, much sleep,
do it anyway. And if you're doing 30,000 steps instead of doing it at the end of the day, because I know I will not do it, I will just get up earlier than all of you, and I will go and do it anyway in the gym by myself. I don't need you to be my motivation or none of that stuff. I do it anyway.
What did you just say?
I don't need you to be my motivation.
You just looked at me like, what is that?
Oh no!
I can unpack that. Yeah,
well,
why?
It's just that I do it for myself. I don't do it for anyone else. I don't do it for Bella. I don't do it for my doctor's orders. I don't do it for you to be in good shape for you.
Yes,
I do
you
it.
Do.
No, I don't. Yes, I do it for me. And because number one is that motto, nothing feels as good as feeling good feels, is honestly the truth. Mm. I live by that every day. And I want to feel good every day because like I have a big goal that I want to achieve in my time here on earth. And I know that in order to achieve that, I'm going to have to be well most of the time. Mm. I'm going to have to be positive most of the time. I'm going to have to work really hard to achieve those goals. And I can't slacken. So that is like a commitment I've made to myself and to everyone out there. I will do everything that I can to be the best version of me so that I can show up as much as I can, so that I can get as close as I can to that goal. If I don't achieve it, I'm going to, but I need to know that I did my very best and not look back and have regrets when I'm lying on that deathbed. Hopefully I'm 98 or 100 and look back and say, but you know what? You didn't work hard enough. Like you didn't actually push hard enough. You could have actually done more. Mm. You could have done it better. I just never want to have regrets when it comes to my career because it means that much to me. Mm. Also to my personal life. You know, with my daughter, with you, with my family, Beth and Amber, I never want to lie on that bed and just think, you wasted it, girl. Mm. Like you had a talent, you had a gift, or you had a duty. Like you wasted it. And because for me, the thing that I really don't like, the emotion that I struggle with is regret. Like I don't like that emotion. Like when you regret something. I want everything to be packed with lessons and things like that. I don't want the regret. So, and I know we've only got one chance, and I'm already probably close to halfway.
No, you're halfway.
I might not. You might be. Speak for yourself. Anyway, so for me, that is like I know it's coming, and I know I've read a lot of articles. I've watched a lot of videos of people that have had regrets, people that have got no regrets, interviews. From people that are that age that can talk about it, you know, being on their deathbed, what do you wish you had changed, you know? And so that is like the big picture thinking.
Wait, just before you move on. So that way does emanate in everything because going on a holiday with you was difficult in the beginning. Because for me, a holiday was, okay, we're going to go to a beautiful resort somewhere in the world. We're going to
read a book.
Read a book next to the pool, and we're going to relax.
Drink pina coladas, get a tan.
And I remember this is not how you were. And in fact, it actually put me off you.
Oh, shame. No, in the beginning. Didn't tell me it put you off.
No, it did. It was like, wait a minute. This woman just wants to, like, this,
go.
Yeah, like ADD, like ADHD. This woman just wants to stop and just relax.
Mm.
And then I discovered the reason I was like that was because I was unhealthy.
Mm.
And doing it your way taxed my body. It was actually, it was difficult keeping up with you. Like you'd wake up early, then you'd do something, and then you'd have an itinerary of 20 things in the day. And your attitude was, I'm not going to waste a day. I mean, we got to do all these things.
And therefore, my life. Like, I honestly do feel like that. Like, I never want to get to the point where I think, but you, I mean, I love to travel. I live for traveling. Mm. I want to expose Boo to as much as she can see in the world because I think you learn on every single journey you go on. You learn so much. You see so much. It grows you so much. You evolve and you get ideas. You get inspiration from the ways people do things. And for me, that is a very, very important reason for me to live. It's like, I want to travel. And it's taught me a lot of lessons too. And yeah, I mean, traveling's exhausting. And if you're not fit, traveling becomes really hard. But I never want to look back and say, I didn't see this and I didn't do that. And like all these life goals that I had, and travel's a big part of that. You didn't do any of that. Mm. Like, you didn't have the money, or you didn't have the health, or the energy, or the motivation. You just didn't do it.
See, you know, when you unpack it like this, I'm also starting to learn exactly how, because I'm kind of like that now. Like, I can't go on a holiday and just chill.
Yeah. I mean, there are times to rest. Like, we'll know, like 3 days in a row of going out and doing these all these amazing things. And then the fourth day, it's like, let's have a pool day. You know, and I'm like in for that because I also listen to my body.
Yeah, but then it's a pool day with a sup in the ocean.
No, and man. Then it is it's like you see the kayaks there and you're like, are we really just going to sit here for 9 hours?
Yeah, let's just
gonna
snorkel quickly.
Have a snorkel because that is a form of rest. It is. It is. It's not like you have to lie on your back for 9 hours. It's just like, let's have a day where, what do we feel like doing? Okay, let's go snorkeling. Okay, let's have a nap. Okay, let's go for lunch. Okay, you know, let's go for a little walk along the beach. So it doesn't have to be completely idle and sedentary. It just means let's not go at a million miles an hour.
I just think about how many couples out there are not in equilibrium because the one is not as healthy and capable, and you're living parallel lives almost, and you connect in certain areas, but you're not really connecting in all the areas. Mm. Because if I had kept myself where I was when we first met, it would be difficult.
Well, I wouldn't have been with you.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
I'm sorry,
there
but I would have been like, if I can't change him, I'm leaving. But yeah, like, I mean, I knew I had a gift for changing people. So I was like, okay, here's a nice project.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, luckily I loved you. So it wasn't that. It was, I wanted to see you live a full life.
Yeah, but that's
like,
but
you've done other stuff that's amazing, but have you lived a healthy existence and felt what it feels like to have energy and vitality and hike big mountains and do cool things with your body and be able to really get the most out of each and every single day? Because we really do have limited days. Mm. And if you're only having, if you're only awake for 9 of them, or if you are just doing 5 things in a day, oh my gosh, you're not going to get to your list. And I know my list is quite long and I want to tick them all off.
So I just think when people listen to this, they may nod at the, you know, and I'd like to bring it back from this like theoretical, the way you describe things, because sometimes it doesn't feel in touch with like where we are as laymen, the day-to-day people. And I do think that, you know, couples working out together, that's, you know, if you train together, you stay together. Yeah, those are little like cheap shots, but there's something in that. You know, going on a health journey and a transformation together, it's not about being healthy in the end together. It's actually about matching your pathways together.
Well, it's matching your whys. I think, you know, as a couple, I think it's really important to sit down and kind of reassess every year. I know we're quite good about goals. Okay, like, what are we going to do next year? Business-wise, cool. Personal-wise, let's like, okay, what are we doing? And I think that that is critical. Like, when was the last time you touched base with your partner? Mm. And kind of reassessed, because sometimes you can start feeling a different way, or, you know, things change, or your outlook changes, or you're exposed to so many different things, and then you actually, your goals do change, and that's okay. But I think if you're in touch with your partner and you're communicating, then that's important. Like, then at least you're on the same page, because this is, I mean, the most important decision you ever make is your partner, your life partner, you know, that's your person. And I think being on the same page is important. So if you're both in, and what I love about goals, for me, it's like living my full life and achieving my full potential and my goals personally and professionally. That's why for me, I really need to be healthy and I really need to live each and every single day needs to be as full as it can so that I don't have those regrets at 80 years old. I think as couples, you need to just make sure that those goals are very aligned. You might have some personal ones that are different to mine. That's cool. You know, like whether it's reading or whether it's doing a certain course or whether it's having a hobby or cool. That's important too. But I think your big ones, like the places you want to travel and places you might want to go or live.
Your experiences.
Those things need to be the same. Mm. Because if one of you loves traveling and one of you is a homebody, what a massive friction point. Like, one of you is constantly booking tickets away and the other person just wants to lie on the couch. I don't know how that actually ever works, to be honest. Mm. Like, I really think that that's a discussion you need to have before you get married. But if it's a bit late, because people get married young and they change and da-da-da, I just think you need to make sure that your goals align, because then it's a lot easier to align your years, your months, your weeks, your days, your...
But I'd argue that that's actually an after effect thing. Like, the aligning your goals is an after effect thing. I think that the before the effect thing is getting healthy together.
No, but there's got to be a why. So what I'm trying to say is when I talk about consistency and discipline, like in the same sentence, I have such a strong why that it supersedes anything else. It's like, I don't care if the weather's bad. I don't care if I'm tired. I don't care if I have a lot on my plate. I don't care if my daughter is sick. I don't care if I'm not feeling fantastic. My why is so much bigger than my excuses and all the reasons that maybe I shouldn't, or my why is big. It's big. So for me, if you can get your partner to have the same why, the same big goal for life, and then broken up into lots of smaller goals, that becomes your reason for making healthier choices, for getting up earlier, for doing 30-day challenges, for investing in home gym equipment or rebounders, the investment in going on retreats together or going hiking on a Sunday. Like, all these little choices are because you share a big common goal. And your whys need to align, because for me, the motivation to get up every day, it's a non-negotiable. Like, I'm motivated all the time. And the motivation comes from a deep, deep
conviction
and purpose for being alive and knowing why I'm here. And nothing will stand in my way.
You know, it's amazing you say that, because when the successful businesses that I've built, I remember being interviewed by a journalist about it, and she said, was it your passion? Was it your purpose? Was it all of that? And I said, you know what? Passion's rubbish, because it runs dry. Even a purpose can run dry. You can lose vision, and your purpose you can't see anymore. I said, what drives you more so, especially in a startup world, is conviction. You know, when I built that little device that I built because the woman lost a baby because she couldn't make a payment, that story, that drove the 72-hour coding. That drove, you know, the failures. That drove when the business shuts down and there's nothing left, that you go do something else to fund it and you come back in again. And that conviction drove everyone else in that business. Mm. And everyone else came back for that same conviction that we're not here to win market share. We're not here to sell or to become rich or to do X, Y, and Z, but we're here because if we solve this problem, we save a life.
Mm.
And that conviction, when you have conviction, it destroys passion. The passion doesn't stand in its way. Being tired doesn't stand in its way. All the other things just break. And I think it's exactly what you just said there. It's conviction.
Mm.
If you can find the conviction in what you're doing professionally, it's extraordinary. You know, why are you? And that needs to be a very personal conviction. And I think that's what you're alluding to, is the fact that your why is actually not just a why. It's actually a deep, heartfelt, deep conviction.
And it's big. It's not about my why is because I need to lower my cholesterol, or I want to have body fat of 20%. Like, I want to be lean. I want to look amazing. That for me is too shallow. Like, that is up and down, fleeting. That doesn't actually really matter. I mean, the big picture, you know, when I'm looking at 80 years old and lying on my deathbed, I'm not going to care about my body fat. You know what I mean? It's like, that is a small little teeny goal. When you really go big goals, medium goals, small goals, teeny goals. I don't even like play in the teeny goals, because those fluctuate. Those are very normally very selfish, very sort of superficial.
Temperamental.
Yeah,
too,
and
right?
Important to a certain degree, but not like as important as I'm saying. Like, for me, the why has to be something that you really go and think about. Like, you go and you think about it, and it might even take you 6 months to really understand, why are you here? Who are you? Why are you here? What is your purpose? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to see? What do you want to do? What changes do you want to make? Like, what is it? And for everyone, it'll be different. And that is beautiful. Like, this is for me. So every single person that's listening to this, they don't have my goal. And their why for getting on that rebounder every day and getting up at 4, going to the loo at 4:15, getting on that rebounder, making breakfast, showing up day after day, no matter where you are in the world, and making health choices, not just exercising, but health choices with regards to food and what you're eating and how you're drinking and your thoughts and everything, your stress levels, how you treat others, how you treat animals, these life choices, okay, it all boils down to my big goal, made up of these macro and then micro goals and micro goals.
Jeez, I mean, it's amazing when you, because just coming back again, I love this one. Maybe this is narcissistic me where I always have to make it about me. But
he said it.
But I remember during COVID, when we were sitting around at home and we were locked up and everything, and I'll never forget, because I had lots of job offers to move. I mean, I could have moved to Dubai. We had that job offer where I could have gone and worked for that company in Seattle, and it was a global role, etc. And I'll never forget Bethany saying to me, and we were at the dinner table, and she said, "Dad, do what makes you feel happy."
Mm.
And it, like, a bell strung just got hit when she said that, because I thought, let me just hold on to that for a second. And the dinner went on. But then the next day, I came up where we're sitting now, and I actually thought, okay, happiness. And I Googled happiness. What I wanted to find out is, like, what is happiness for Stafford, for me? Not for Bethany and Amber, not for you, not for Bella. What is happiness for me? And I had to go chisel and go find. And what I discovered was nothing that I read online helped me. I actually had to shut down my phone and everything.
Mm.
And I had to take a piece of paper and a pen. And I wrote the name, the word happiness in the middle. And I circled and I said, okay, now create a spider diagram. What is happiness? I shredded so many pages. Because happiness, every time I got done with my spider diagram and I looked at it, I said, that's actually what I was taught happiness to be. I was, or this is happiness stereotypical.
What you think it
should be. Yeah. And then I kept on coming, Stafford, what is happiness for you? And it landed up being something so simple, but that became my why. And that drove my entire career decisions afterwards. And the reason I'm sharing it now is because this is the first time I've heard you speak about it this way. And I'm actually starting to realize that I don't have a why for some other things. But here's my why that I found in the last few years personally. And when I wrote down my happiness why, I put happiness down on a piece of paper. And I didn't need to create a spider diagram. I actually sat back in the chair and I said to myself, and it just hit me, I am 60 years old, and I'm at the table that we were at the dinner, and everyone that was around that table, so all our children, you and I, the relationships that I have when I'm 60 are like they are right now, or deeper and more meaningful. Their spouses and their partners that they're with, we have the same relationship with them. And the second thing that I wanted, so the first one was relationships, and the second thing was health. That I'm healthy and I'm strong and I'm capable. And then the third one was financial, which was when I'm 60, I want to be in a position not, and you know what was interesting about that? I landed up with saying no financial trouble.
Worries.
That was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't about
having a yacht, boats or and yachts latest and car.
Nothing. Yeah. It was nothing to do with that. It was just, and trouble, no trouble meant that I could help the kids, that we were able to do the things that we wanted to do, i.e. travel and just have what we needed to make us happy. And when I chiseled it down to those three things, relationships, connection with the people that I love the most, that mean the most to me, and health and wellness, that combines, I'm able and capable. And then the third thing was financial, no worries. Then all the decisions that I had to make with all the offers fell away. That big offer that I had to Dubai, I killed it. I mean, I turned down a top three.
Because one of the three things would be compromised.
So exactly, if I took that, that meant I would be on a plane 3 weeks out of the year. I'd make tons of money.
Like, your health and your relationships would be going
compromised.
To pot.
And so everything I measured through that simple, stupid little lens of saying, when I'm 60, this is what I want. And that became my why. And that's driven my career decisions ever since then. And it's become extraordinarily powerful. It makes me turn down things that for other people seem, are you mad? I mean, I told someone who I turned down during COVID, those two offers I had. And they were like, are you nuts? Are you like, great, how could you? Because you could have reported into this guy, a global role. You could have, and I'm like, yes, I could have been all that. But when I was 60, where would I be when I'm 60 if I took that role? I think my relationship with my children would be distant. I'd be trying to make up. My health would definitely be something that I'd be spending a lot of money on to get back. And I'd be rolling in it. But is it worth it?
But you did the exercise and you did the work. And now for you to make certain decisions is really easy, even if it doesn't make sense to anyone else. And I think, you know, everyone listening to this needs to take a leaf out of your tree or
but that's how you get to the why
of your hat, because it is about that. It's about why are you doing the things that you're doing, because sometimes you just go down the road 5 years, 10 years, 15 years and you're actually like really unhappy. Like you actually can't believe how you got to that point and for how long you've been parking your own happiness, your own satisfaction, your fulfillment, your purpose, your whatever, your reasons, and you're really like stuck. And I think more than 8 out of 10 people are in that situation, that are listening to this right now, are feeling like, I'm not actually happy. I'm not satisfied. I don't feel like I'm giving back. I don't feel like I'm doing what I really love. I don't feel like I'm living my true potential. I don't feel like if I was 80 years old on my deathbed, or 100, let's just say 100, and I'm looking back and I don't think that I'm on the right trajectory for me saying, I did everything I could. I lived my best life. I did all those things. I took the risks. I traveled the world. I lived my dream, my purpose. I don't think I'm on the right path. And like, at what point are you going to change your path? Right. You know, right. I just feel constantly, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I just feel like there's not enough time. That's how I feel. Like if that's how
you do feel that way.
Like how big my goal is. Every day counts. Yeah. That's how I feel. Holiday counts. Like every holiday, I want to meet new people. I want to go to some new studios. I want to like scope it out a bit. I want to like learn a bit. I want to get the most out of it. I want to see at least 5 new things I've never seen. I want to try 5 new foods. I want to live my life. And I know that in order to do that, I have to be healthy. I have to get up early. So I have a full day.
But you found your why.
Because there's not enough time.
But wait, you found your why.
I found my why.
And that's and you know
what's
amazing?
But the why is big, hey? It's big. Deep.
It's deep. But the reason it's so powerful for you, and I, you know what I just realized too? I need to go back to that why again. And I need to go back to that simple definition again. Because I think, you know, just like that eagle that grows like the skin over its eyes. And then it goes and it finds a rock. And then it hits its head against the rock. And then it renews itself. I need to do some of that, like just hit my and just find that again. And I know what it is, and I just need to polish it again and look at it again. But something that you said the other day, and you said at the same time I almost thought it, was you came to me, and I mean, you are literally a work machine. I mean, it's incredible. You wake up before the sun is up, you're out there. I find you in the room and you've got 20 papers all around you. You're on the floor. You're sketching things out. You're thinking of that. You're doing so much all the time. And I just thought to myself that day, like, geez, how does this chick do this? Like, this is nuts. But then when I was thinking that, you came to me and you actually sat down. And you said, babe, you know what? There is no way I could do all of this if I didn't love it. If I didn't love what I was doing and I didn't know why I was doing
it. And I said it to you again last night because it was...
Was it last night?
It was yesterday that I had a really, really physical shoot day. It was...
Oh, that's it.
It was... Yeah. I pushed myself to the extremes, which was super fun at the time because, I mean, yesterday I did not work out because I knew the shot list and I knew how hard I was going to have to push. And I knew when I woke up, it was like, today is the day. And even yesterday morning, I had a different makeup artist... Took a lot longer to do my hair and makeup than normal. Somebody brand new. I didn't know how the outcome was going to be either. And I was like, okay, here we go. But let's just think positive. Bella went to school and she was meant to be wearing a Heritage Day outfit. And she was the only girl wearing a school uniform. And what I did, I ran up to the room, packed her 3 outfits, asked my helper, please run back to the school. I can't go. I'm shooting. Staff also had a commitment. And go and let her choose. And I knew the one that she's going to choose anyway. Made the best of a bad situation. I wasn't going to let it get me down because I knew I had to achieve that shot list. And I knew that I needed the energy, the positive outlook. I needed that to make those dreams and that shot list come alive and for it to be a beautiful day. And it was a beautiful day. I mean, the sun was out yesterday. I was getting a tan. To think that it was like, it's what, 5 degrees outside now and freezing cold. Yesterday, I was so hot. I was getting sunburnt. And I felt so overwhelmed with gratitude yesterday. I even said it in my stories because the sun was on my skin. We had come back from a beautiful holiday. I was doing what I loved. I was outside, which always helps, in the sun. And with a great team, doing what I loved in a beautiful shoot space with a shot list that was exciting. And I was like, I just feel so overwhelmed with gratitude. But my day didn't start perfectly. You know, and I could have let that ruin my whole day, but I wasn't going to let it because yesterday mattered. So it was so hard on me physically, but it didn't matter because that day it's a day closer to my dream. And every day when I look at getting up early and doing a workout, I'm excited. I'm excited to work out. I'm excited to start my day. I'm excited for the new product launches we're doing because I'm achieving my goals one day, one chunk, 1 week, 1 month at a time. So I think for me, I changed my perspective on it, on the work. The work is the goal now. It's the journey. Instead of saying, when I get there, when I get there, when I get there, then I'll be happy, then I'll have joy, then I'll... I'm like, it's happening now, like every day. Like every day I'm living it.
The present.
The present. And like, it's a gift. Like I love so much about my life and my dogs and like everything because
and your man.
This like is everything. Totally. And I'm not being fake when I say this because I mean, you live with me, you know this. I try and make the best out of every situation because like this is it. This is it. So it's look, no dress rehearsal. So I think when you change your perspective about getting up early and doing the workout, being healthy, making the changes, the sacrifices, the workload, and what comes with that, the discipline. To me, it's like, you're living your dream, girl. This is it, you know? So I have a different perspective when it comes to work, working hard, training every day, health choices, getting the most out of traveling, being busy. I am very grateful that I know I am very lucky to be doing what I do every day and what I love every day.
Yeah, I think it's and you know, the big why, if you find it, and something that I'll just say about you from the outside in is having a team, a partner, children that buy into the why. And that's something that I think is very, very important because most people don't live the life that you live and don't have the let me say it this way. You're lucky because what you do is a very beautiful why. You know, there's a lot of people out there grinding. You know, they work in a call center or they work for a boss and you're your own boss, number one. Number two is that you got a partner that totally buys into your why. I mean, I've bought into it like literally monetarily in every way. I think the kids do. I mean, Bella, Bethany and Amber, they live this life. And it's very... Your why is very powerful because it draws everyone in. It's drawn me in. It's drawn the kids in. It's drawn everybody
in. But sometimes and mostly, I feel like, yes, people want to work with me and for the company and everything. They buy into the why. They love what we do because it's a beautiful thing and it changes lives and it's pretty and it's all those cool things, all the fun factors there too. But I feel like sometimes when the work gets hard, like, and not speaking for specific people or whatever, but sometimes when the work gets hard, it's like...
It becomes grindy,
draining. People get sick a lot. They complain a lot. And I'm like, well, what's the alternative? Like, you know, you're going to go and work for a company that you don't believe in what they do, working like from an office every single day, checking in and checking out. We don't do any of that with our company. You know, everybody works remotely most of the time. They own their own hours as long as they're performing and showing up for a few critical meetings in a week. Going and working for somebody that you don't believe in what you're selling, if you're selling rubber or whatever. Like the alternative is what? Like you've got to change your perspective and look at the big picture, what you do, who you do it for, the growth, the opportunity, the flexibility. How are you looking at your job? Something's wrong with you because you are getting sick too much. You're complaining too much. You're a bad apple. You're infiltrating, you know, our company, whoever's company in a bad way. Something's wrong with you. Your outlook, your perspective of your life is not good. You need to fix that because that is not a good way to live your life. Like, and it's going to make you sick. And more than often it does make that person sick. And often they land up leaving the business anyway because they just like don't fit in.
Yeah, but just coming back to again, the why, finding the why. And I think if you find your why, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be on a Lisa Riley entrepreneurial journey story.
Let's just say the guy working at the call center, somebody that works at the bank right now.
That could serve
studied accounting.
And
you know, they're working in a bank, not the greatest environment that they wanted to be in. They actually want to own their own business and own their own time and
but
they
not
don't
everyone
want to work
wants
for a corporate.
To do that.
Maybe
most
maybe
people
not.
Don't okay. shouldn't do it.
But let's just say now you look at your job and you think, but you know what it gives me? It gives me security.
Exactly.
It gives me medical. It gives me, it makes my kids, I can send them to good school. Healthcare, da 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 da. But I'm not fulfilled when it comes to what I do in my life. Well, find something, you know, whether it's a community, whether it's a give back, whether it's the bounty community, whether it's an Eldorado Park children's community, whether it's doing something for somebody else every single day, whether it's a sideline, find something that fills you, that passion tank, that love tank, that I'm giving back to the world, and know that your job, you're lucky to have it. It ticks a lot of your comfort zone boxes, like it's giving you all the comfort, and it's giving you the ability to go and do the sideline thing that really is going to fill your tank, your real reason why you're on this planet. So look at it differently. Look at it as it's my stability, it's my rock, it's my it's the thing I can count on so that I can go and pursue and look for this other thing that is really going to fill my tank. If I didn't have that, then I wouldn't be able to go and do this. Right. So you've just got to change your perspective. And the mind is so powerful. And people don't, they use it recklessly. It's like this thing that they just don't quite understand. But everything starts in your mind. The way you start your day, the way you think about things, your perspective on things, your outlook, your demeanor, everything starts with your mind and learning to control it. And like having power over it is like the most important tool ever. And in every single moment, you have a choice to think of this as growth, learning, an opportunity. Is it so big? Is it such a big deal? Will it matter 5 years from now? Or I'm going to let this ruin my day. This is irritating. This person, this whatever's happening, you have the absolute control in that moment to decide how you're going to see that thing or that person and how it's going to affect your mood, your emotions, your day and your life. Like you have that choice. So for me, I just feel like a lot of it comes down to
finding
mindset.
Your why.
So for me, it's, and because again, my why is so big to me, the little things really don't matter. Because it's like, really, that is not going to matter on my deathbed. That is so not going to matter in the big picture.
I just want people to know, though. I just want people to know. When you listen to Lisa, it all sounds perfect. It all sounds like she's got it all figured out. I just want to say, as a husband, as a partner that lives with her on a day-to-day basis, she does lose her vision sometimes. And
I
have
to... Why?
But just hang on a sec. I just want to make people know that...
Yeah, I'm not always happy, chappy.
There's failures around you a lot. People let you down. Things don't work out exactly as you plan. But, you know, there are times where people... Let's just be dead honest. There are many times... Let me say it properly. There have been times in the past. They're not many. Where it gets so hard for you, the pressure so much, the disappointment so big, the all of that, where you'll turn to me and say, babe,
I think I'm going to give up.
No, this is it.
Yeah.
And this just like, you know what? Stop everything. I want to be that taken care of woman. I want to like pick up Bella from school. I don't want to do anything
else. How long does it last?
Not more than a day. And normally what I need to do is breathe deep.
Yeah, don't try to fix it. Don't say, you got almost like not got to fix it and not have a comeback. Just be like, babe, it's okay. You tired?
Yeah.
That's only the case. Five things happened to me in one day that were cuck. But whatever, like there's a reason for that. Like there's just, normally it's humans. Just by the way, normally it's humans that let me down. It's 100%. It's like, I have a lot of faith in human beings, and sometimes I'm disappointed.
No, but you're not built for the back office of a business. You're not.
It's not your forte. The bad side of humans. Yeah.
You don't love the support side. You don't love
when things go wrong.
You want everything to be just like everyone must be happy.
Yeah.
And everything must work and nothing must break and all that.
But you know what happens on those days? Okay, because I think I've prayed about it a lot. I put it out. I do all my motivation stuff in the morning and my readings and my gratitude. And I do that stuff. And because at the beginning of every day, I set my day with an intention. I don't just go in there. I have a list of things I want to achieve. I start it well, my mindset first, my cup of coffee, I sit there and I do my readings and I have like an intention for every day. Like it's not just by chance I'm here. This day matters. And I read all my things and that sets me up for the whole day. But it will be on the lowest days where I will, not one, I'll get five messages. One from a client. I get a bunch of roses sent to the house. I will get two beautiful reviews on Google or whatever it is. I'll get a personal message from somebody saying, you mean the world to me. And somebody will do something for me out the blue. Or it'll be a testimony that comes in through the support line or something that's emailed to the team. And it's on those darker days where that will happen. And then I'll be 100%
by the end of the day. She doesn't say Stafford did this for me. No. Okay.
Well, generally we're in the fire together. When we're both down, we're both down. But, you know, it's like, so that's what happens. Mm. Okay. Because this thing is now so big and I know I have God on my side. I know that. And I know the days are going to get dark and I know that it's not perfect and sometimes the road is windy and there's lots of obstacles and what. But they're not going to take me off this path. They aren't. And it is on the dark days where I will receive those little messages of encouragement. And I know that it's the big man upstairs, my God saying to me, hey, don't give up. And there's a message there. Hey, don't give up. And there's some flowers, you know, ring, bing, bong. And there's a bunch of flowers. And it's just that, like, it's just a bump. It's just a bump, you know. And those little affirmations, like, hey, don't give up. You're on the right path, will come. And how you look at those, you could just, like, take it for granted, or you could look at it and be like, wow, okay, I needed that today. And it's quite amazing. And that happens a lot.
I'd just say a special shout out to the team that you've built around you. I mean, our team, we have some incredible humans that can multitask and take on a lot. I mean, a lot of people think, like, how the hell does Lisa do it? Well, it's not because it's just Lisa doing it. There's 100%. A lot behind her that they're making it. Okay, look, consistency. Yeah. We landed up with the why. So find your why. I think I've shared how I found my why. I think you've shared your why. But I do think let's just end that posit. It's not about finding it right away. It's about discovering it, like really peeling the onion. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to find your why does require you to peel away a lot of stuff that's got nothing to do with you, or preconceptions that you have, or stereotypes, or the way you think, or what other people thought of. You've got to find it authentically, deeply, on a conviction level for you.
Go to the deathbed. Yeah. Go to that deathbed and say, when I lie there and there's no more life left, and I look back, did I live my life? Did I do the things I really wanted to do? Did I change? Did I make a difference? If that's important to you, maybe it's not. Maybe all you want to do is be the best parent.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, you have to figure it out.
But during COVID, that's why so many people got divorced and so many people got married and so many people changed careers and so many people did that. Why?
Because death was in their face.
Death was in their face. Saying, well, wait a minute. I could stop for a moment and just think.
Life's short, eh?
Do I want to be with this person or not? You know, yes, deeper, better. Yeah. Make the call, marry her, marry him, et cetera, et cetera. Or people are like, wait a minute, I'm stuck here. This is not where I want to be. This is not who I should be with. And making that call. And sometimes finding your why makes you have to make... I've heard you speak to people and coming back to relationships where people were like, I've got to get out of this marriage. Like I know what my why is. I know what I want to be. I know my potential and who I am.
But my partner is just so not on that. And even with all the communication and the therapy, it's just like this, my partner is not good for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and you know, the hard part about that is the financial burden, the divorce, the kids, the house, the assets. Oh my goodness, it's sticky. And it might be sticky for like 2 years, you know, but then the rest of your life can begin. So there's going to be things that are going to be hard. There's going to be friends you're going to have to say goodbye to, or family members you're going to have to cut off, or, you know, a job you may have to quit, or business you may need to shut down, or like there are going to be big things that you have to deal with in order for you to really, really live your true life. And that is different, a different journey for everyone. But I can highly recommend it, because from that real sense of I'm on the right path comes daily motivation. Hard work comes from that. Commitment and discipline comes from that. A mindset of being a winner, not being a victim. It comes from that. Like, it just, gratitude comes from that. But it's about doing the hard work and making those big decisions, big ones.
And just by the way, when you find your why, you have no time for drama.
Yeah. I really have no time for drama. Sometimes with you, like, we've got this little dog.
I was about to speak to other people.
Coco pees on the carpet like a lot, guys. This
is all the time.
Okay.
Every night.
And Steph moans at me, and I'm like, babe, I don't want to talk about Coco. Like, I cannot deal with it right now. Like, I'm in a positive zone. Like, just, does it really matter? We'll get new carpets in a while. Stop it. Okay. But yeah, like the little things.
Just
like,
email
to me,
stafford@mybounty.com if you're looking for
a
Jack Russell.
No.
You can come in.
She's my little perfect little thing. Okay. Anyway, so for me, that's the first thing. Okay. Goals, your why. Okay. Then for me, it's, I think that comes from there again is falling in love with the process and not the outcome. Okay.
Let's say that again.
Falling in love with the process and not the outcome.
Wow.
Okay. And that, again, comes from your why. So, like, you got to start with that why so quickly, it's scary.
You know what?
Time is running out.
Just before you there's a book, For the Love of the Game.
Okay.
By Michael Jordan.
It's like the movie.
No, I don't know if there's a movie.
I think there's a movie. Okay,
but the book is called For the Love of the Game.
Mm.
And where the title comes from a clause that they put into his contract as an NBA player. You know, Michael Jordan was like...
Oh, yeah, massive. My brother used to love him.
Yeah, well, he was like the Tiger Woods.
The shoes and...
He was above basketball. He was above, like, everything. He did things that were just like...
The legend.
Not, like, real. And he... So basketball players have, like, a contract that says during the season... They have to practice, and they have to practice here, and they can't do this, and they can't go. So, like, basketball players usually come from street basketball. That's where they learned how to play, like, in the streets. But when they sign those contracts, they're not allowed to go back there. And Michael Jordan loved basketball so much. His why was so big that he told everyone, Nike, everyone, if you want to sign me, you have to allow me.
Play wherever I want to play.
Wherever I want to play. Mm. So wherever, if I go to whatever city and I want to go with those kids and play on that court and play that type of basketball, which is more physical and I may get injured. Sure. That's fine. But for the love of the game.
Mm.
And in his contract, he had a clause that stated, for the love of the game, Michael is allowed to
do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And that's the book. It's called For the Love of the Game. Because he found his why. And his why was way beyond what they thought about a basketball game. It was way beyond all of that other stuff. So, Jack, it's For the Love of the Game.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, it's about falling in love with the process, not the outcome. And I've spoken a little bit about it, but you know, that getting up in the morning and the way you see that, it mustn't be a chore or an onerous duty or like, this is something I have to do every day.
Well, it's not a metric. You're saying is you're not following the pounds. You're not following the kgs.
Yeah.
The goal is consistency.
It's just about,
it's having, just showing up.
Just about being as well as I can. So, and I want to have as much energy as I can because I know this is a big thing that I need to achieve. And for that, I need to have health. I need to have energy and vitality. I need to have a long day, a full day. I probably will need to work 2 or 3 hours more than every other person every day in order to achieve this, to get ahead. Like, so it's just something I've accepted. It's like a non-negotiable. I don't even think about it. It's like, I don't even think about the fact that I have to exercise tomorrow. It's like, I need to exercise tomorrow. It's not even something I think about anymore.
You know what? The people that finish, like, because of the Life of Bounty, the subscription that we have, we can see on the back end when someone logs in. And we can see when someone starts like the 8-week beginner program or they start the 4-week foundation program or they begin. We can actually track them. And what I noticed, the people that are the most consistent that actually do finish are the people that don't. The comments, this is the comments that I normally see. That was really tough. I wasn't my best today. I only managed to burn 200 calories, but I'll be back tomorrow. I'll come and do this workout again tomorrow. And they just never not show up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably one of my other mottos. Do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think I should have that tattooed on my arm. Like, do it anyway. It doesn't matter how you feel.
No.
Okay, yes, no tattoos. Stuff like, only dumb people get tattoos.
No, I didn't say that. That's not true.
You do. You do. Bethany, Amber, Bella, Lisa, and himself are not allowed to get tattoos. Yet we all argue with Steph that some of the most amazing people on the planet have tattoos.
Okay, let me just defend myself.
Explain.
Okay, let me explain myself.
Because some of the most successful people, some of the smartest people,
maybe
not in technology, but in many other spheres of the world, have tattoos.
Okay, cool. Okay. So this is my rule.
Okay.
When dad gets a tattoo, you can all get a tattoo.
No.
While you're in the house, number one. Number two is Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Larry Ellison.
Tick. It's like, genres of people?
Okay, they don't have tattoos. So that's the one side. But the other side is, you're absolutely correct. The most amazing friends we have, the most amazing human beings in our life. All have tattoos.
Yeah.
So let me clarify that because else I'm going to get like cancelled.
And you know why? Tattoos generally mean a marking on your body that reminds you of a trauma.
Something.
An overcoming. Yeah. A person that you've lost. Something. Okay. So they're people that have gone through stuff. It's like almost like you've written a book on your body. Those people have grit, gravitas. They have life in them. They've been through stuff. They're like real. So for me, when I see a tattoo, I'm like, that person's got a story. They don't just get a tattoo. Okay. They have a story.
Okay.
Okay. So that's why I actually love tattoos. Not personally for me.
And so your first tattoo is going to be do it anyway.
No, it won't be. But I'm not going to tattoo myself in any way. So it's all good. They're not for me. But I love them because I know behind that tattoo is something. There's a story there. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Character. So Do It Anyway is, I think that this falls back to how hard we are on ourselves for this aim for everything being perfect. It's this perfection. And like, if I'm not going to show up tomorrow and do a full hour at 100%, then I may as well not do it at all. And I say to hell with that. Like, that attitude is that all or nothing attitude that no longer serves you. Mm. It doesn't serve you. The consistency and commitment and dedication, discipline, that serves you. And it's about doing it anyway. The late nights, the fact that you have got a crazy day, that your family members are sick, you give me an excuse, I've heard it. Okay. So it's about it's actually on those hard days where you do it anyway that the victory feels way more sweet. Okay. And I always say that when you didn't feel like it, then you did it. And I said, how do you feel now? You're like, well, ask me in 10 minutes. And then I do. And like, no, I feel good. I'm glad I did it. Yeah, no one always. Ever feels worse after a nice workout. And generally that's the trainer's job, the music, the vibe, pushing you, the motivation. It's so important. And that's why, you know, having the live classes or the community or going into the studio or having an instructor teaching you when you're not feeling great. So you're not feeling creative, you're probably going to give up. So that's why it's also really important. So number two is, besides the why, then number two is, like, fall in love with the process and not the outcome. Okay. Mm. Because the outcome, it could be far from now. Mm. What's going to keep you motivated for 10 years or 50? Like, honestly, what is going to keep you motivated? So you can't focus on the outcome. Then you're only going to be happy when you're 80 or 50 or 60. Mm. No, you need to be happy today and tomorrow and every other day between then. So falling in love with the process and changing your perspective on all the things that you need to do to make that goal or dream or why a reality.
Okay.
Fall in love with those things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Doing it anyway, because that's about being consistent and doing what you can on that day where you are. So if you're away and you don't have all the right equipment and you just have a rebounder and you did it half, at least you did it. Okay. Yeah. If you woke up and you've got a really bad headache, so you did a 30 minute instead of a 60, you did it. Mm. You know, like, it doesn't have to be perfect every day, but do it anyway.
Because it's about doing it
through the hard, through the good, through the bad, through the ugly, through the amazing. It's just about being consistent and showing up. That's it. Okay. So do it anyway is another thing. Staying motivated is really hard for a lot of people. Like, it's a big thing.
Well, what are you saying? Is just stay motivated.
Just staying motivated, staying on track. Like, starting something for a lot of people is hard. Some people, starting is really easy, but finishing is hard. And then doing it again and doing it again without a 30-day challenge. If they're not in an 8-week program, if they're not trying to lose 5 kgs and then achieving it, but like doing it without having to lose 5 kgs, doing it for the bigger picture, doing it for the health, doing it for the prevention, doing it for something you can't see. Like, there's no, you know, you can't see the disease in you. Mm. So doing it and keeping motivated beyond the aesthetic, beyond the something, the stats, the in-body scale, the whatever. You're like, how do you consistently show up and consistently be motivated about being healthier and about being better than yesterday and about pushing yourself and about, you know, doing it anyway? How do you consistently stay motivated? Number one, the why is, again, a huge factor for me. Right. So that is just, like, I think the motivation falls away after a while because it just becomes a daily thing. Like, I don't ever feel like unmotivated.
I love what you say. You always, when I say, you're going to work out again, you're like, yeah.
It's a new day, man.
I'm going to breathe. I'm going to breathe again.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm going to shower again. I'm going to eat again. So I'm going to work out again. Yeah.
But I think what some people do need is, like, accountability. They need to feel part of something bigger than them. So they need to have a buddy or they need to have a studio where they go and they tell their friends, like, can I see you at 5? Okay, I'll see you at 5. Let's all book in, you know. They need to have that accountability partner.
But that's why personal trainers are so popular. People say that. Because
group fitness is also like the new big thing, you know, like going into a studio because you're obviously sharing the financial cost. Not everyone can afford a trainer 5 days a week, but you actually 7 because you should be exercising 7 days a week. Mm. So like, that's a lot. And that also becomes maybe a bit monotonous, you know, same person, same stories, you run out of news, you know, the same equipment. Like, so it's important to make it, like, accountability in whatever way or form that means, whether it's online, whether it's in a studio, whether it's with a friend, with a partner, with an instructor, like, you need to have is somebody that's going to keep you accountable on a day where maybe you don't feel like it, or they don't feel like it, then you pick them up, then they pick you up, then like that, because that also builds consistency, you know, and motivation. It's just having that person that you're doing. It's almost easier to do something for someone else than it is to do something for yourself.
Yeah, and that's
like that, you don't want to let that person down. 100%. You don't want to let that group down. You don't want to let your instructor down. You don't want to let the person who's opening up the studio down. So like, you kind of like, that's why you do it, because it feels like you're almost doing it for someone else versus yourself. Because we have this thing about doing stuff for ourselves, you know, like the selfish thing. Anyway, so for some people, it's accountability. That's important. Another way to kind of stay on track, stay motivated, is finding joy in the process. So it's kind of fall in love with the process. It's, you've got to find the joy in it, the gratitude in it, the fact that some people's best days are your worst. Some people wish they could do what you did and they physically aren't able to. And to try and find that gratitude for your body and what it can do, find the joy in the music, find the joy in the what you're doing, how you're moving, the ability, how amazing your body is, like how crunchy and delicious salads are, like how sweet fruit is. Like you've got to try and find the joy in cooking, eating, tasting food, eating out, how beautiful looking after your body is, and how your body moves, and how everything's connected, and how you do certain things and your sleep improves and your digestion improves, and falling in love with feeling good. And like, you've got to try and fall in love and find joy in the process of all of it. And having carrots or rewards or things to look forward to are also important. That's also part of the joy. So whether it's signing up for a special marathon, whether it's a rebounding one or a physical running one, or like tomorrow, for instance, I'm leaving with 19 ladies. We are going to Botswana for 3 nights and 4 days. And that's finding joy. You know, all of them are on a life journey, a process of some kind, with rebounding, with DNA, with nutrition, with life, with health, with everything. And this is part of the joy. These ladies work really hard, and they put aside, you know, money to be able to do these things. Instead of buying a new car, this is a huge priority, is their tribe, like-minded people, going away, doing exercise, moving your body, eating beautiful food, laughing, being in nature, sun, you know. And that's because, you know, you start to attract your tribe. People have similar interests to you. They just start gravitating towards you. So like, we go tomorrow, and that's joy. So we have a few of those things. Some are not as elaborate as 4 days away, or reunion welcation, you know, could be a day, a morning, a breakfast, or whatever, a beautiful bounty marathon. So finding joy and rewards is also really important for everything. So trying to find ways of celebrating the smaller victories so that you can feel motivation on a weekly basis, because motivation fizzles very easily. And if you've got a 12-week goal, if you've got a 6-month goal, whatever, how are you going to stay on track for all that time? How? So you're going to need to have lots of little things that you celebrate. So if your goal is, you know, weight loss, or whether it's health, okay, every time you sleep without waking up, every time you forgo that first cup of coffee, but you had an amazing day anyway. Every time you did that hard workout when you didn't feel like it, but you showed up anyway. Every time you got your water quota right. Every time you did something else for someone else, you know, you did something for someone else. Whatever it is, the little wins, this little gains that you achieve need to be celebrated. Maybe you have lots of these little things, like, you know, getting off sleeping pills is one of them, or it could be just waking up earlier or consistently. It could be stopping yourself in your tracks from not saying everything you think, like it's a negative thing, but stopping yourself for a full week in a row. Like, you're not going to complain for a week.
Is that me? You're looking at me.
No, I'm talking about all the negative people around me. And it's like 1 week of not complaining. Okay. Yeah. And you did it. Okay. You need to create lots of little rewards, because those little things, like, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. And the rewards can be a dinner, rewards can be a massage, rewards can just be a pat on the back, it can be a new book, it can be whatever. But if you are filled with these little rewards and these little like moments of celebration, that is going to fuel your fire, and that will keep you motivated. So find things that you want to achieve, make sure that they're achievable. Every time you achieve them, there needs to be a reward.
So you really got to be mindful, hey?
You have to be mindful. You really do have to be mindful. So yeah, that is accountability, rewards, finding joy, your why, staying motivated is a process. yeah, getting rid of the perfection, being patient with yourself.
What about, let me take it back to like bare basic stuff around consistency. And so let me ask you, running is boring.
That's why I don't do it.
Cycling can be boring. Going to the gym and doing that same gym workout, the same parking.
Don't do it.
Okay, but
find something that sparks you.
But you just rebound all the time. Okay, you do, but now you do Bounty
but
Fly.
But I don't.
Yeah, true.
So I don't just rebound all the time. Now I've incorporated some Bounty Fly once a week or twice, Bounty Boots, sometimes with you, sometimes alone, once or twice a week, more like once of each of those. And then, but the classes that I do, the rebounding classes, you know that not one of my playlists are ever the same. I never do the same thing twice. I might have one song that I repeat once every 2 weeks. One song. I go to lots of other classes with the other instructors. I do other classes online, rebounding classes, bounty ones. And so I never know what I'm going to get because I'm waiting for Steph. She did her playlist. I have no idea what she's going to do with me. Every single trainer, every class, every hour is unique. I don't know how people go for a run, same route every day. Or same everything every day. Or I go to the gym and kind of do the same thing, except maybe they do it in reverse. I just don't know how people do that. But that's me. Some people might like the monotony and that's fine for them. That keeps them consistent.
But that may actually affect some people's consistency.
Well, it may. I mean, like, how boring. Come on, guys. And if it's not rebounding, because I feel like rebounding is it because it's fun, it's light, you're weightless, you feel like a kid, it doesn't hurt, you don't never stiff. The music's a huge factor. The trainer you're watching is a huge factor. There's a lot of factors that tick the boxes to being sticky and keeping one engaged. And that has been a huge success factor for Bounty is the fact that it is so unique. It's so diverse. There's you never get bored. Like your muscles never get bored. Your mind never gets bored. It's amazing. And obviously the accountability, the community we've built around it. But you know, you've got to find something that lights your fire. So whether it's like Monday Pilates, Tuesday running, Wednesday Nia class, Thursday yoga, Friday whatever, boot camp, you have to find a way to keep you motivated. And make sure that you're going to people that are good because their job is to keep you or assist you in staying motivated.
And accountable.
Yeah. So they've got to do their work. If you're going to somebody that's kind of doing the same thing all the time, you need to find a new trainer or a new instructor or someone because that's not okay. Like if I look at how much work and effort goes into preparation from all of our instructors, it's way more than the class. It's like 3 to 4 times more than that hour that they're on the stage performing. It's like the preparation is critical. And that is, nobody sees that part, but that is the part that comes before that's like, these people are back again. I can't do what I did on Monday. I need to mix it up. New music, new moves, new ideas, you know, and that is, I think, a really important part of staying motivated is you're not ever doing the same thing twice.
So look, I love it. I think just coming back and I think we need to...
One last thing.
Okay, yes.
Okay, one last thing is you need to understand who you are and try not to swim upstream. So if doing something at the end of your day is not going to work for you, why set yourself up for failure? So if you're not a morning person and doing a 30-day consistency challenge at 5 p.m. would work for you because you'd get up early, you'd do your work, you do everything, and then you train 5 to 6, shower, eat dinner, like that. If that is going to be successful for you, do that. You know, like don't go in and do this thing that you know is going to upheave your whole life. It's never going to stick. It's not going to suit your family's lifestyle. It's going to be a friction point for your family. Sometime, maybe that is not going to work. But hang on, doing something the other way around at the end of the day because of school or how far you live from your work environment, maybe that is going to be better. You know, so you have to do what's good for you and not like try and fit into this perfect box. Personally, doing it first thing, away from excuses, away from anything that could go wrong in the day, away from being exhausted at the end of the day, mentally, physically, whatever, is a good way to start. But that's me. And that's probably most people. But it's probably not 30% of the people listening. They're like, you know what? I have to train at the end of the day. I cannot do the morning meter. Then do it then. Yeah. But just be consistent about it. Yeah.
So for me, I think, you know, consistency-wise, someone like myself, and I think there's a large cohort of people out there that's similar. I think consistency can also be fed by data. I love data. Okay, so for me, the airy-fairy-whys are very, very important, but they're not my ultimate driver. Finding my why is a great motivator, pushes, etc. But for me, what keeps the consistency going is data. So I love, like when I did the 30-day challenge, I love the fact that I did the in-body scale test. And I love the fact that we unpacked every element of that. So I can see what my water retention is, what my muscle composition is, what my bone density is. What my, I love all those data sets.
But how did that work for you?
Well, it did. Think about it. Like at the end of the challenge, like I the numbers came down that had to come down, and the numbers that went up that were good went up, and that helps.
So did you keep going on?
No, we went overseas. Mm-mm. We went overseas and we came back, and then
I was
sick.
You haven't got it. You haven't got it.
What?
You haven't got it.
What does that mean?
It's not there. That the
my muscles.
No, no. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about your why, your reason. Because if if it was really doing what it should, you would have continued after that, throughout the holiday. You would have. So that is what I'm trying to say, is like the data is not enough.
Okay.
It's just not enough.
But it helps.
It helps. It's wonderful. I was so proud of you. I was worried about that figure. So when I saw it come down, I was like, you see? It does work.
But let me, in defense, let me say this. Wait just a second.
You can't keep going with data, though.
Okay, because
your visceral fat's going to get to 4, and then what?
It needs to get to 0.
No, it's not even healthy. It's like there's some visceral fat in your body. Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you is that stuff is important, but it's not as important as you think.
Okay.
It's not enough. That's why you keep slipping back to old ways, back to your default system. That's why you keep going back there. So people ask me like all the time,
you know,
how can you be so consistent? Why are you all, I'm not fair with her. When everything is perfect, then I do it. I am no matter what.
Okay. So look, clearly I have to find my why for health.
For life.
No, for life I got my why.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sitting across from my wife.
No, but I'm talking, so for me, health is linked to life. It's not like... If I want to achieve that, I've got only so much time. If I'm going to make each day count, I need to be full of vitality. If I want to be full of vitality and energy and do more than anyone else I know in a day, how am I going to achieve that? Health is number one.
Okay, cool.
How am I going to do
Let
that?
Me say it differently.
And then unpack it. So,
okay. So it's not about finding the why. It's about clicking it in. It's about engaging the why. It's about making the gear actually in the teeth of the gears match and click so the wheels turn.
Yes,
so
you can maybe you haven't linked them. So you've got your why and you've got your health and you think they're separate.
Mm.
But they're very much linked. Mm. And that's maybe the disconnect, is that you're thinking of health as this one thing and then you've got this why, which is great, which is another thing. But actually, I think the minute you link the two together, then they work together. Yeah. They never, ever separate. They just are one thing.
Mm.
So that for me, that is one thing. My life, my health, my discipline, it's one thing. It's like they're not separate. Oh, that's that and that's that. They are the same thing.
Look, it also helps, I guess, like I've been sick like really sick. I mean, I just came off antibiotics. Again, if you've got your why, then the driver to bounce back is just so much easier. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I must be honest, I've told you, I can't wait to get back at it again. Physically, from a physical exercise perspective. I think we spoke a lot about physical exercise, but I think this why and this, like the driver to everything is, it's the same from a consistency perspective, diet and nutrition wise.
But I'm talking about health in general. So I'm talking, we've been speaking about, you know, exercise, but I'm talking about like why I choose to eat the way I eat, with eating mainly plants and lots of water and vitamins, and I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know, any of those things. I don't do any of that stuff. So for me, it's about the choices I make in my life, the thoughts I think, the gratitude work that I do, the emphasis I place on stress, sleep, gut, the people I surround myself with, joy in my life, positivity, outlook, mindset, that. So like, I'm definitely not just talking about exercise. I'm talking about living the life that you want. And for me, I'm trying every day to live the life I want, so that when I get to that deathbed, I can look back saying, I did my very best. I never want the regrets. So everyone listening, this is my path, my journey, and just some nuggets on like what keeps me consistent, what keeps me motivated, what keeps me striving, keeps me positive, energetic, and all of the things that people say I am. It's not always perfect, but I'd say 8 times out of 10, I really do live that. Everyone has to find their own path, their own journey. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not mine. Mine is not for everybody. And that's awesome. But everyone listening to this must go and do the work. Mm. And whether that's going camping by yourself or going on a silent retreat or doing an hour of it every morning when you wake up, And like sitting with beautiful music and starting to dig deep into your soul. I also spoke about it on a previous podcast where I said, carry a notebook with you, you know, and the column down the middle, and we separated it, and you keep that with you for a week or a month, and you start to unpack who you are and why you're doing the things, you know, that you're doing. And like, even if it's past life regression, even if you have to go on like a little bit of a trip, whatever it is, you need to figure it out, because it'll probably be the best exercise. It is going to be the best exercise you ever do, because it will fuel your life and it'll give you the motivation and the strength to overcome obstacles, to stay with it, and to keep focused and to stay disciplined and consistent with every choice you make. I mean, I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now I'm going to go get a tattoo.
Whatever, babe. Oh my gosh.
You're going to get me canceled with all the tattoo people. I just know. Tattoo people, I love you. No, I love you.
Steph's like, you know, the tech guys may not have tattoos. I'm sure they all have secret tattoos somewhere in their groins. You just don't know about it.
Some of the best developers that I know are like amazing. Yeah, but
these big fancy people.
Stop making me defend myself with tattoo people.
I know when Bets and Amber listen to this, they're going to be like, Dad, those tattoos.
Okay. Listen.
It's been a big soft win in our family for as long as I can remember.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get one.
Oh, yeah.
Just to defend myself.
What are you going to do?
Find your why.
Oh gosh, you'll get a Baby Yoda or something like that on your butt.
Absolutely, Baby Yoda. Okay, cool. Consistency. I think that was a lot. I shared a lot, and you know, and it's long form, and you've unpacked it, and I think, you know, what always happens when we end the episodes, you always think, like, I know 2 hours from now, you're going to go, I could have said this. But look, we're going to strive to do one episode a week. Mm. Yes. So next week we'll record another one. No, we will.
We will. Yes, we're going to try.
Consistency. Let's find our why. Okay. Yeah, okay, cool. So we're going to do this.
I think in my last, because we got to say goodbye, my last little thing, sometimes if you're feeling like a little bit lost and you don't even know where to begin, like even if it is in your fitness journey, if it's in whatever, sometimes you just got to go back to basics again. Mm. You know, go back to your journal, write it out, go back to music, go back to whatever it is. Like I go back to gratitude. Whenever I'm feeling like a little lost, I write down all the things I'm grateful for, and that like kind of resets me. And then I'll read out of a few books, and I'll write out my goals for that week or that month or my intentions. You know, maybe you watch a couple of movies that really get you going, or you listen to a few speeches that you get, you know, that do it for you, some poems, some music, some songs that you play every morning, like your mantras, maybe you do some meditations, like you just go back to basics. And the same with exercise again, whenever you lost your way a little bit, and that's why we do these workshops often with our clients, is like, just to go back to basics again, so that you can, because each time you do it, you go back to basics, it's like you kind of reset, and you also learn a little bit more about yourself, and you also get better at getting back to basics, because sometimes things get really busy, complicated, you drift, you lose your way, and then you're like, whoa, like, let me just bring it back again, you know? So if you're not sure where to start, like right now, and you're thinking, sure, they said a lot resonated, some didn't, you know, I just urge you to go back to basics again. Go back to the things that make you feel happy, that give you joy, and make the time for you, and just do the basic stuff for a while, for a week, a month, or whatever. And that's a good place to start.
But I'll just say this in closing, myself. If you're sitting and you're listening, I think the first thing is go do a DNA test. Go to our site, go to wellness, click on wellness, go to DNA.
Because that is really getting back to basics.
That's back to basics.
It's like
that's
who you are, what you're made of, what are your sort of issues when it comes to like genetics. Start from there, because yes, it is the basics, as well as some blood tests with Carly, and have an in-body test. Yeah. Like, get all your stats done, like get that done. And then, like I said, for me, it's about getting back to your mental basics.
Yes,
like what makes you happy? And I've spoken about that ad nauseum today, like, you know, where I think you should begin and why that's so important. So, and yeah, if right now you are a rebounding person and one of our clients and you've fallen off the bus, get onto the beginner's program. Like again, back to basics, because you like, there's so much choice, you don't know where to start. Same thing if you wanted to come to the studio for the first time or do an online class, do a back to basics class, do a beginner's class, do a workshop, Jono's introduction to rebounding workshop. Start at begin again, reset, just reset everything and start again from the foundation.
Yeah. Look, I just, the reason I said the DNA test, I think it's just so important to understand who you are. It takes all the obstacles away relative to your consistency. If you know when you should be training, how you should be training, what you should be eating, how you should be sleeping, I mean, that just deciphers uniquely who you are, and it takes all the barriers away. But yeah, all good.
Well, that was fun. Let's do this again next week.
Yeah. I think, you know what, to make the podcast shorter, we should do it this
Listen.
Way. Where we're standing, like we're singing to each other.
Yeah.
And then you'll get tired and it'll be shorter. I think.
I don't know. I think now we've spoken about it. Now we don't have to really cover it again. So I think, you know, again, I don't want to have any regrets. We should have said that. We should have done that like that. So I think sometimes when we have a topic, let's just exhaust it and let's really deal with it and then move on to the next topic so that you don't feel like you need to go back to it five times because that's frustrating as well.
And also, so the next episodes that come up, we'll have Carly on. She's going to come on. We've got
some other guests as well.
No, we've got some incredible guests, not just some other guests. Yes. So it's going to be incredible. Guest, and we're excited about it. So great.
And just keep your suggestions coming because that helps us a lot with topic ideas and content. So send us a DM, even on my Instagram is cool, and just tell us what you think about the podcast. We also appreciate your rates and reviews as well. So if you feel like you want to say something about the podcast, then please feel free. There's all the different ways you can do that. You can rate, review, and then share this with your friends and family members that you think really need to hear it. That's how the word gets out there, so and we can make a difference.
So let's close. Gav, please edit out the bit which you're singing, and then
to
all the tattooed people out there, love you.
Woohoo!
Love you madly.
Bye everyone, see you next time.
Just don't sing. Don't sing in the end.
Bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.